I'm Susan Montanaro, and you're listening to Dreams and Detours, a show about the life we plan to have versus the one we're living, for better or not. Everybody has a story, and I believe we find ourselves in each other's stories.
Hi, it's Susan Montanaro. I had the great pleasure to welcome back Michelina DeCibbio, founder of Let Us Be the Good, a network of health and lifestyle entrepreneurs. Mick is changing lives one at a time with her deep knowledge of living a healthy lifestyle. From plant-based food options to whole food supplements and the self-care rituals that go along to optimize for a good life, she has a manageable plan that will suit anyone. I just love chatting with Mick because her can-do attitude and love of humans leaves me feeling super inspired. Please welcome Mick DeCibbio. Mick, it's good to have you here. Let's start there because you're my first guest who's doing a repeat visit to the show. So I'm really pleased about that. Yeah. And I feel like 2 years ago when you were on for the first time, it was such a treat and such a pleasure to share all of your intelligence and learning about living a healthy life. And bringing so much, you know, wasn't just, oh, I'm going to bring, you know, ideas and I'm going to bring this notion and of lifestyle change. I mean, you were literally inspiring people on a global level to live healthy, and you're giving them the tactical plan, if you will, to get there. It wasn't just an idea. So I love talking about that, as you know, and I believe in all of that healthy living and plant lifestyle, which we could all use more of. And so I'm glad that we're going to talk a little bit more about that today.
Thank you so much, Susan, for having me back. I can't believe it's been 2 years, but you're right, because I remember at the time I was in Virginia, not in my regular home office, and I'm honored to be invited back. So thank you so much for having me again. I appreciate it.
I mean, I feel like now more than ever, after this 2 year period of dealing with COVID and dealing with all sorts of illness, whether it's physical or even emotional, I feel like so much has happened for everyone in the world. So now more than ever, if anyone needed a plan or a strategy to keep themselves safe, to keep themselves healthy, and to have longevity in life, this is the moment for people to really latch on to different philosophies and ideas that, quite honestly, are just so needed and so paramount for a good life and for living happily.
Right, absolutely. And I think if there's anything we've learned from the last 2 years, is that, with COVID, is that we know, right, that the people who are most affected by this disease, most severely affected, are those that have some comorbidity, some underlying condition, like heart disease, like obesity, like diabetes, some immune weakness. And what we also know from science is that plants, a plant-based lifestyle, is the plants are healing, right? They're anti-inflammatory. They're alkaline. They help us to fight disease. And so along with when you couple a healthier diet with, you know, some really good lifestyle habits like exercising, meditation, belonging to a community and so forth, which are things that I help people to, you know, include in their life, we see better outcomes.
We certainly do. It really does mirror, as you and I often talk about, the blue zones and, you know, that very calm, healthy, intentional way of living. And to speak about, you know, the comorbidities in others, I think that you're absolutely right. And even if it weren't COVID, even just flu season, let's face it, those who have other underlying issues and medical challenges are more susceptible to flu or becoming very ill and even possibly, you know, dying from flu, because we still have a small percentage, but a percentage of the population that does not make it through flu season. Say that again, does not make it through flu season.
It's a mouthful. No, absolutely. Even without the COVID, it's absolutely true that, you know, we need to focus on, I like to focus primarily on gut health. You know, most of our, you know, our immune health really initiates, resides in our gut. And so it's really important that we do things like, you know, avoiding sugar, for example, as much as possible. I know that's hard around the holidays, but we know sugar feeds disease, right? So, you know, what can we do? What are some alternatives we can offer for people who maybe have those kinds of cravings? And so I like to teach about, you know, alternatives that are out there, plant-based recipes and things like that, that can satiate you, but also give you the healthy fiber and all the other nutrients that go along with that. So it's really important, absolutely, because, you know, at the end of the day, if we don't have our health, what do we really have?
We don't have anything. We don't. There's no fun left because we are so limited, so uncomfortable, and probably quite frightened underneath it all when things are not going well health-wise, let's face it. So I can't imagine that that's an existence that has a lot of joy in it. Let's put it that
Absolutely.
Way. It's just way too limiting. So it's so interesting, the whole notion around sugar. I remember, because you and I both attended IIN in here in New York, I remember when they gave us the book, The Sugar Blues, and we needed to really become that much more fluent and aware of the damage that sugar causes, and just being able to walk a client through the process of giving sugar up. And it's such a big area for me as well, not because I was a sugarholic, but I was eating both putting direct sugar into my diet, and also eating things that then, of course, turn into glucose in my body, which was giving my body the same effect at the end of the day. I remember going through the process of eliminating sugar from my diet. And it's not easy. So I want to put it out there immediately. This is not an easy thing to do. However, it's so critical to your health and well-being, and so important that to approach it in a long-term goal capacity would be the, first of all, the brightest way to do it and the smartest way to do it, but to see it that way so that you are giving yourself the space and the time that it will require in order to slowly reverse and slowly find those substitutes working for you, because they don't work overnight. I mean, yes, I always used to say, put more cinnamon in your diet, put other things that are, you know, that give the palate the feeling and the sensation of something sweeter, or aiming in that direction, certainly not salty or savory, but something sweet. It takes a while for your body to adjust and to not have those cravings. Plants are the neutralizer. And that's another reason why plant-based eating is so essential. Plant brings you back to center, and it really does help balance out cravings. So I'm just glad that you touched upon that, because I feel, again, now more than ever, that's another area for people to really focus on. I know people will take gluten out of their diet. They'll take soy out of their diet. They'll take dairy and reduce it greatly, let's say. We're learning and hearing more about the importance of that, but boy, oh boy, to understand the damage that sugar does to you, it's just a whole education that I feel everyone deserves to have.
Absolutely. And we know it's addictive, right? I mean, it has an effect on your brain, you know, just like cocaine has. I mean, Dr. Perlmutter, I think, even says that it's, you know, it's worse than a cocaine addiction, you know, like it's a really strong, it has a strong effect on the brain. And so, you know, it is really good to look at ways to, as we learned at IAN, to crowd out, right, some of those traditional sugar things that we would reach for. So, you know, the more we can introduce healthier stuff into the diet, the more your cells become programmed, right? You're sort of reprogramming your taste preferences as you start to flood your body with more and more plants. The trouble is that people don't like many vegetables, you know, in general, right? Vegetables, generally speaking, of course, you know, people tend to gravitate towards the fruits more because they're a little sweeter, et cetera. But this is where I have, you know, very happy that I have products that can help people. So if they have gaps and they're not getting enough, right? We're supposed to be getting somewhere between 7 and 13 servings of all the colors of the rainbow every single day. If you're not doing that, there are some great products that can help you fill the gaps. And what we see in people is after, you know, approximately 3 to 4 months, of really flooding your body with a lot of plant nutrition, people start to report that their taste preferences are shifting, mm-hmm. you know, because now your blood cells, your red blood cells die and remake every 90 to 120 days. So you're really sort of, you know, reprogramming, if you will, your body. So it's a really good, you know, thing to consider doing.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I love that that you actually have a remedy for that and you have a solution for people, because you're right. Most people, especially if you didn't grow up eating vegetables, and it's interesting, I continue to meet a lot of people in my life, even now, who just, they didn't have vegetables on their plate growing up. Okay, no shame. It's just a fact, but it is very hard if that was your early days of being introduced to food, if you didn't have it, gravitating toward it now, both from a taste and from even a wherewithal like perspective, like, oh, going in the grocery store, like, why would you even go down the aisle if that wasn't, if it isn't in your, you know, in your, on your radar to pick things up. But you're right. We need to be able to have a solution to fill that gap of where we're not getting that daily allowance, that daily serving. And oh my gosh, thank goodness for the opportunity to have some, you know, dense product that's out there that people can utilize and take in a supplemental form that will absolutely do the good that we're looking for people to achieve.
Right. And I encourage parents, if anyone, you know, is the parent of a young child, to, you know, it's so important to get them started early. Yeah. I love teaching parents how to grow food with their children, you know, so you can get a vertical garden, for example. And you can grow your food together, you know, all year round at home. And what we find is when kids are involved in the actual process of growing the lettuce, you know, growing the broccoli, growing the kale, they're much more likely to eat it.
Right.
And so, you know, getting kids to become part of the process early in life is just a really important, I think, key to success for them later. Absolutely. Because then it becomes familiar. You know, it's not like they're having to relearn something later on.
I remember in my early days of wellness coaching, one of the things that would come up often dealing with a mother, she wanted to adopt new different habits, new things to introduce into her diet, into the family planning, quite honestly, always concerned about getting it onto the plate of her children. And so I used to recommend, let them help you prepare the food. Yeah. Let them touch the food. If they're not old enough to chop, let them peel the carrot. Like, but let them touch the food and be a part of the process. The more that they are involved, the more A, that they learn, and the B, the more curious they'll become about what's what. And oh, like they know what the basics are, an apple, a carrot, a banana, sure, you know, an orange, but like take them down the road of exploring more. That's how you get your kids on board to even feel curious to try new things. Yes, there are texture issues. Yes, there's some flavors that they may not be ready for. But honestly, if you don't make a face about it, chances are they won't know that there's anything bad or indifferent about it otherwise.
Right.
So you're right. Helping to grow the food is so, so important as well. If you could get them involved.
Absolutely. You know, there are wonderful smoothie recipes that we have and you know, protein mix that they can use to make pancakes, for example, which is a kid favorite. But the smoothies, the protein balls, you know, these are healthy alternatives to Kit Kats and whatever, Reese's peanut butter cups and other snacks and things that the kids reach for, any packaged foods, you know, like that. You want to try and substitute or replace with a healthier thing like a, you know, like a protein ball or a healthy smoothie, or you can make, you know, frozen pops out of them. I know now with winter here in the Northeast, it might not be, you know, the thing you'd reach for, but there are so many different alternatives that you can make. And again, when kids are involved in rolling the protein balls or putting the, you know, the ingredients into the blender to enjoy the smoothie, they're much more willing to, you know, make those changes for themselves.
Yeah, absolutely.
Sure. Yeah.
I love that. So do you find, because I feel like, you know, when we look back and then we, you know, obviously in looking forward, it feels good to know that more and more people are adopting some of these alternative lifestyle, you know, ways and the foods and the body movement. I feel like because things become a little bit of a fad,
it's becomes widespread. So more people are writing about it, more people are developing cookbooks, or more people are just talking about it on social media. You know, we have more people that have maybe a bigger following that are talking about whether it's vegetarian lifestyle or plant-based lifestyle, or just moving your body and the essential aspects of that. Do you find that that's making your life and job and the role that you play with others easier? Is all of that working favorably? Tell me a little bit more about like how the world has shifted and how that works for you, essentially.
Sure. Well, I think, you know, the more exposure that the idea gets, it has, you know, gotten people to come seek help more. I think, unfortunately, it also took something as, you know, as life-changing as COVID. You know, because of what's happened with COVID, we've seen, you know, a much higher interest in people wanting to know, you know, what can they do to help themselves from a standpoint that, you know, doesn't require necessarily a medication, but is more about prevention, right? And so those things have certainly, you know, have certainly helped. And I hope that this, what we've gone through, what we continue to go through, is really going to open people's eyes to the amount of, you know, control, I'll say, that they have over their own choices. You know, there are things we can do to put ourselves in a more advantageous position. As we said, you know, certainly eating more plants, you know, getting proper sleep, staying hydrated. What are you thinking about? Mindset is so important. It is so important. What are the things that you're thinking about? What are you focused on? What are you reading? You know, you really want to make sure you're staying in a positive, supportive community. And it's really, you know, just again, really important to make sure you're adopting behaviors that are promoting wellness, overall wellness. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I'm someone who likes to look at the root cause of things. So even in the context of COVID, for example, again, think about the people who are most affected. If you get to the root cause, it's the people that do have these, you know, for the most part, not everybody, but for the most part, have these underlying conditions. So why not? Let's put some more focus on helping people get out of that category, right? And that's really what the goal of my team and myself is to do, is to help more people avoid the sick care system. It's
absolutely
really a sick care system.
It is a total sick care system. I think
not
that when it comes to trauma, yeah. I think that we are really advanced in this country in terms of responding to trauma, and that we're grateful for it. Let's face it. We're grateful for it. But otherwise I do. I think it's a very sick system that we have that's rolling. And it really, unfortunately, keeps a lot of industry in business, if you will. It's almost like a certain amount of sick
right.
people are required in order
right.
for there to be success in certain
yeah.
areas without getting too heavy or political.
Yeah.
I think that it's
yeah.
true. And I think that the people that we're looking to help lift up and out of the place that
right.
they're in are often disadvantaged in many
right.
ways, like whether they weren't given education
right.
or they didn't understand the importance right of it or how it was going to snowball and play a role. But no matter where you sit, this is available to you.
Right.
The knowledge and the understanding is available to you no matter what.
Right. And I want to be very clear. We do need a sick care system. We do
yes.
need a way to help people who are sick. Right. But my message, what I really hope to convey, is that I would like to see us focus more on prevention.
Right.
Now, let's also remember the CDC is really the Center for Disease Control and Prevention. That is part of the name. We don't hear as much about that part of the name, because right now we're in the middle of something, you know, we're in the middle of this pandemic. And so we're really
trying
focused
to control.
On,
yes.
yeah, we're trying to save lives. And of course we need to do that. We need to do that. However, I really hope that in the coming years, we're going to focus more on the prevention piece.
Right.
Let's hear some messaging about, you know, proper food intake and exercise. And can you imagine for just a moment, if leading up to this moment in time, we had mandated that people eat 7 to 13 servings of fruits and vegetables every day, and we had mandated that they be on a treadmill for at least 30 minutes a day, 5 days a week. I know that's not realistic.
No, but imagine that your healthcare was tied to, you're receiving, let's say, universal health. What if it was tied to having to maintain health?
Right.
All of a sudden, people would be looking to maintain health because it's tied to health care. I get it. It's not practical and realistic based on where we are as a society. But imagine if that were true, how we would be faring at this particular
point. Yeah, exactly. And I know that's kind of a silly, you know, it's an example. Of course, that won't be a mandate, right? We can't tell people what to do, but imagine a world where more people were practicing more of the right things.
Right.
And so what can we do as a society to encourage each other to do more of the right things?
It's like, why wouldn't you want that for yourself?
Right. Exactly. Well, the truth is that, you know, you do have to realize a lot of the products that are out there. And again, many of the products that are out there that are not healthy for us are laden with sugar. Right. And again, as we talked about earlier, we know the impact of sugar on the brain and, you know, and so on. So it's, you know, it can be an uphill battle for many of us. But the key really is finding a community that is going to support you in what you want to do.
Right.
And so that's what, in my small way here with what I'm doing in my on my team, is trying to create that community where we're welcoming people in wherever they are. There is absolutely no judgment. But what we encourage people to do is make small changes over time, because if you really want them to stick, you've got to have, it can't be everything at once. It's just not reasonable.
Right. It's like I say, brick by brick, we do one layer at a time, and we do it nice and slowly, and we stay steady with it. And that's how change occurs that way.
Yeah, absolutely. And I've been beginning to incorporate some of what I've learned from James Clear. Has written an amazing book called The Atomic Habits.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you've seen that. It's a great book. And we learn about habit stacking, you know, how to make your environment more conducive to healthy living, for example, how to make a habit easier to build, you know, so that's a really great book for anybody, whether your goal is to be healthier or any other goal in life related to business. It's something that, you know, has really helped shape the way I work with people. And I'm so grateful for that as well, you know?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Look, changing is not easy. And you have to, you know, like I do, you have to want that for yourself, not just for any other reason. You have to really deeply want to change and shift and bring in new and get rid of old. It's both, right? You have to make space for whatever it is that you want to bring into your life and into your own world. And yes, that's all give and take. We have to make room for it. So it isn't easy, but it can be done, especially if we're dealing with health and wellness. And quite honestly, the emotional wealth of it all and the health of it all. I mean, at the end of the day, some of those components will be missing for people, because that's just the nature of life and humanity. Not everyone will have a community that supports them necessarily. They may be in a household where half the eaters are unwilling to make the change and shift, but that should not stop you from making the changes that you want to make, because I always believe that we model what we're hoping others will look to, you know, achieve for themselves or want for themselves. And so it has to start with us anyway. So even if you find listeners, if you find yourself in a situation where that is not conducive to where you are in your own community or family, do not let that prevent you from starting to make the changes that you'd like to see, because you have to start somewhere. And
you do the desire. After all, yes, you do. You absolutely need the desire. I highly encourage people to write down their why. You know, I have mine written on a goal card, you know, and look at it and read it every single day. You know, why is it that you desire this? What is your goal? And stay focused on it, really, you know, and taking those small actions every single day to move you closer to wherever you want to be. And you're right, bit by bit, you know, people will begin to notice what you're doing and they'll become more curious, and you'll be inspiring, hopefully, other people to do what you're doing, you know, to come along for the ride. Because, you know, I always say it would be absolutely no fun for me to grow to be 100 by myself. I want my friend to come along with me, right?
So, I totally agree with you. That is so true.
Yeah.
So let's talk a little bit about like some of the misconceptions maybe that are out there, because I find that, where I want to really go with this is I want to end up at the beautiful Tower Gardens that you absolutely guide people and help them to have in their own homes so that they can grow their own greens, their own herbs and their own. But I feel like there are misconceptions out there of what, you know, people should be looking for or the messaging that they're getting. And so we're always looking to educate those who we work with and are in our, you know, on our teams and our groups and kind of loop them back into a really safe and healthy way to take action.
Right.
So there are misconceptions that you find you're addressing more often than not. And, you know, obviously that could be due to so many different pieces of information that end up floating out there.
Right. Well, as it relates to the gardening, I guess I'll, because you mentioned the tower gardening, you know, I think what's really important to appreciate about vertical gardening, which is the kind of gardening that I do, is called aeroponic gardening. You know, it's obviously very fresh because you're picking from tower to table. So, you know, it's organic, you know, it's pesticide free and all this other kind of thing. So when you're in the grocery store, you know, you do want to be really aware of trying to shop organic as much as you can. And now the trouble lately, I don't know how it is by you, Susan, but up around here in Connecticut where I am, the shelves have been a little more bare, yes, you know, than normal. I don't know how it is. It's the same for you. So, you know, so the thing is, by the time the produce gets from the farm, you know, to the truck, to the shelf, who knows how long it's been sitting around, right? So the idea is that, you know, even though you're going to the store and it'll say fresh produce, well, is that really fresh? Probably not. So, you know, having an opportunity, a way, a tool in a vertical garden to grow your own food at home, to get the kids involved, I think is genius, which is why I love teaching about it and sharing it with everyone who's, you know, open to learning. So, so yes, it's something that's absolutely worth considering. And again, just being aware, you know, even in terms of labels, when you're out in the store and you're looking at food labels, you'll see the word natural used a lot. Read the label, see what that means. Knowing the difference between, for example, a supplement label and a nutrition label, right? So many people are out running, buying vitamins that are supplements and not whole food sources, for example. So there's so much around this that, you know, people need to be aware of. And some of these words like natural or 100% natural or something, you really need to know what that means.
Yes. And I agree with you because I think it can be very confusing and it can be daunting for someone who's just getting started. And we always want to make sure that when we're sharing this information, we're taking into consideration that someone can be listening who really is just getting started, as well as a person who's been on this track for quite some time and they're just always looking mm-hmm. to elevate, you know, to the next level of it. But there is a distinct difference between those labels. They do mean different things. And don't be scared off or frightened by the fact that you may A, not know, or B, that it could be overwhelming and such. There's always an opportunity to learn. There's always an opportunity to take a deep breath and make a decision. And where you start today is not necessarily where you're going to be in a year or even 6 months from now, because it's a constant education. Because first of all, you're going to learn about what works for you initially, and then eventually that will just get stacked on more and more and things will start to fall into place. So don't worry about where you're starting as much, just get started. But I do love the idea of promoting the vertical garden. I think it's incredible. I have seen yours in your home on screen many times before. And so another misconception that's out there is that if you have a small space or you don't have outdoor space, that you couldn't possibly have a vertical garden. And that is so not true. As long as you have a window with some light, preferably some good sunlight, you can have a vertical garden. And I think even in the case without it, there are lights that can be utilized indoors for that purpose. But what it really speaks to is there's nothing stopping a person from being able to grow their own. And it's a more affordable, certainly a cleaner variety of vegetables or items that you can have in your home. And there's not going to be a shortage. There's not going to be a salmonella dynamic that comes into play for what you're growing in your own home.
So. Right, absolutely. And there was an E. coli. There was some recall not too long ago on some greens. And we see these pop up from time to time. Sure. But it is really simple. I mean, there are two sizes of the tower, the one that you're speaking of. So there's a smaller indoor version, and there's a larger one. They're about 2 feet across, 2 to 3 feet, you know, across in diameter. So they really don't take up a lot of space. And they're all automatic. If the watering happens on a timer, the lights are on a timer. If you're growing indoors, you will need lights. And then you can put it outside in the summertime here in the Northeast, and you can, you know, grow flowering plants outside, like tomatoes, et cetera. So it is a great option. And I just encourage people, whatever steps you take, you know, just look at the picture of your life right now and look for ways you can make just one tiny small change in the right direction. Whether it's, you know, incorporating a new vegetable into your, you know, diet in a week, or incorporating some products to help you get there. Certainly I can make recommendations on that. Learning about how to take control of your food quality and food supply, you know, by growing your own at home. There are definitely things you can do to take your health to the next level, no matter where you are, whether you're just starting out or you're, you know, a pro and you've been in the game for a long time. There's so much to be learned and to be gained from being in a community with other people. So I encourage everyone who's listening to take a peek at what we're doing and consider joining us. It's a lot of fun.
It is a lot of fun. Yes. Yeah. And I'm just so glad we're talking about it, because I agree with you. There's always a small gesture and change and something we can do differently that will really bring, you know, great residual effects. Even just breathing differently, just thinking differently, just the want and the desire alone gets you pumped and gets you started. So all of those parts of you matter. All of them should be aligned and going in the direction of, you know, happy change and looking to take care and be well. And so just that excitement alone can really be everything that you need to get rolling into a healthier lifestyle. So I do love that. I'm so glad we're talking about that today. Makes me happy. And I love the programs, and I want to make sure we highlight the programs on your site called Let Us Be the Good, as in L-E-T-T-U-C-E, Let Us Be the Good. And you have fantastic programs that you're taking clients through and individuals through, and wonderful resources. And I don't want anyone to miss the opportunity to latch on to all that you're offering. Everything from, and we could say out loud, Juice Plus, which is nutrition-based supplementation, if you will, that fills the gap, all the way through to the programs that you coach people through. Is that fair and correct to say?
Yeah. I mean, it's really, you know, the focus of what I like to do is really focusing on the community and the education, right? Because if people understand why something is important, how it impacts their health, they're much more apt to take the steps, the action piece. Right. And so we do host a lot of events. So for example, right now we're in the middle of a 10-day health challenge. We started last Monday, we're ending tomorrow. And then we'll be gearing up for the February challenge. And in between, we have health professionals that come in and talk about different topics, different areas of health that matter to people the most. And certainly in the recently it's been more about immune health, lung function, et cetera. So yes, we
are available free to people to tap into and to join the groups that you are holding online.
Yeah. So if you go to the website, letusbethegood.com, you'll see a link at the top that says health videos.
Okay.
And those are lots of the recorded talks that have already been given by doctors and nurses and, you know, people in their area of expertise. And then on an ongoing basis, I host a call every Wednesday night, for example, on various topics. Although this Wednesday we're going to be celebrating, we're having a little bit of a party virtually to celebrate the people who participated in the 10-day challenge. But there are various talks that come on. And as those come on the calendar, you know, I post them on the site so that people have an opportunity to attend for free.
No barrier to entry. I mean, it's like absolutely available. No. So there's like no excuses. I feel like this needs to be the year of no excuses. And so everyone just like turn it on, like game on, you know?
Yes. One small step, right? Begins the journey of 1,000 miles. So it really just is a matter of taking. And there may be a little fear associated with, you know, but I don't know anybody. Can I do this? You know, what if I fail? You know, all of these things people have said over and over again that have gotten in the way. And I just encourage everyone to flip the script, you know, What if you make it? What if you succeed? What if one small change in making one new friend is going to be the catalyst to the next change and the next change and the one after that, you know? So it's really, again, mindset, surrounding yourself with the right people, and just taking that first scary step to open the door. Yeah. So I just want everybody to know they're welcome.
You can't fail when you're actually taking a step closer toward yourself and toward a life that could potentially be everything that you have been looking for. Right. The only thing you can fail at is to do nothing and to keep doing things the way that you have been doing them and thinking you're going to get a different result, which we know is not really a true thing at all.
That's true. You won't learn a thing if you do nothing. That's, you know, if you do nothing and you sit right where you are and make no changes, nothing will happen. But if you dare to take a step, you will certainly learn something. Yeah, and that is always a good thing.
Absolutely. Right? Absolutely. So. I'm so glad we got to talk about this today. Thank you so much for being here and for being that voice of just inspiration, quite honestly.
Well, thank you for having me, Susan. It's been a pleasure. And I wish you nothing but good health and success in 2022 and beyond.
Yes, to you as well. Thank you, Mick.
Thank you.
That's it for this episode of Dreams and Detours. If you like the show, please rate, review, and subscribe and share it with your friends. You can find me at dreamsdetours.com and at dreamsdetours on Instagram. Thanks for listening.